whole lot of things. The times are moving in on us. And you have chosen the best moment to be in a school like this. It can prepare you for what's happening, because everybody else have lost it. The whole system is a lost system. Sorry, I could walk on money. It's a lost system. They walk on water. And so I think those on the internet in different ways with us, I was thinking about you this afternoon. There's no better time to be in a school like this.
Yes, sir.
There's information and revelation and wisdom that will be given in this school that the average person will never have a chance to attend to. And in the time in which we're living, I believe that Jesus is really preparing the church to take over. The church had to take over before he come, you know.
Amen.
And I think he's training men and women such as yourself to know how to drink the fruit, eat the gifts, how to operate in the spirit world properly. And so we're going to do everything in our power to prepare you apostolically. There's some things I want to go over with you tonight to make sure you understand what apostolic succession is. It's being passed down from one to another, and I want to say in a proper manner. Okay? The apostolic setting that we're in is rare. It's not regular. It's another realm. You may be seated. It's another realm. So you might write that down. You're going to have to be in another realm to be able to sustain the failure of leaders who are in high places trying to correct a spiritual problem with academic or with money or some other kind of power or votes or just all kind of ways they're trying to correct it. It's out of hand. The whole United States is out of hand. You know what happened in Las Vegas, New York. Man just drove a truck, killed 8 people, 15 injured. They don't know what to do. They're talking to newscast, talking to a high sheriff and all of them talking. But it's a spiritual problem.
Yes, sir.
And so fret not yourself because of evildoers. The Bible said they soon will be cut off.
Yes, sir.
So you can pay attention to know what's going on, but don't let that thing shake you down. I'll tell you that. It don't make sense. So when we talked about the apostolic, it's talking about how to comprehend what the Spirit of God is saying when you hear his word, this word apostolic, what the Lord is saying. How the apostolic function in this office. I'm going to go back over some things. The authority given from heaven to a man to help government function properly in Zion, his church on earth. I think it's the 9th chapter of Isaiah, said the government should be up on his shoulder. Mm-hmm. It's the 9th chapter of Isaiah.
Right.
I think it is. Note that. You need to read that because it's so important.
Yes, sir.
The authority given from heaven to a man to help God, government function properly in Zion, his church on earth. Let's define this apostle. They are God representative agent, commissioned by the Godhead to represent all of heaven's interests and handle all of his concern on the earth. Now, that's what the church was supposed to be doing, but when religion, tradition, denomination, egos, heroes came, there was not a connection to God's divine pattern he had set for the church to function. So the church is way behind. She's a sleeping giant.
Yes.
And God's going to use many of y'all to wake her up. We note the apostles, the highest rank in the fivefold ministry gift, and always, this is a good point, always acting as a prophet with his gift, this gift.
Yes,
so he walking that prophetic office,
yes,
insight, okay? And they also function in the remaining gifts at any given time, pastor, evangelist, and teacher. Now listen. Apostle's purpose, and you in the school, you're in an apostolic setting. Therefore, whatever purpose I say, that purpose is going to make a demand on your life, because of the instruction you're receiving from these various instructors in the school. The school is apostolic. All right? The apostolic purpose is to create heaven to earth government structure. Heaven to earth government structure. Which allows something. It allows the portals of the supernatural to be open. I think one of the most exciting and clear explanation of that is the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He gives the hint of how it worked. He says, I'm determined not to know anything but Jesus Christ and him crucified. He said, I don't speak with enticing words of man, wisdom. And that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. And that's where we are now. Your faith is going to have to stand in the power of God.
Yes.
And you're going to have to know that the power of God is revealed in only one place. That's the cross.
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's why Paul had that thing about the cross. In the first chapter, he tell about that the preaching of the cross is the power of God. It's the wisdom of God.
Yes, sir.
But you're going to have revelation and faith to move it,
yes, sir.
To move the power,
yes, sir.
To participate in the power, you're going to have revelation. And one thing about revelation is impotent without faith. So you're going to have faith to deal with, all right?
Yes, sir.
And Ephesians 2:20 and 22, chapter 2, verse 20 and 22, give you the apostolic function is the strongest foundation upon which the church was built, with Jesus as the head. So that apostolic functioning have been smothered, talking about pastors, talking about teaching the evangelist, sometime a prophet, very seldom about the apostle. And that was a scheme of Satan for you not to wear. Let's talk about apostolic fathering.
Yes, sir.
That's a term I hadn't read in none of the books I'm reading, but apostolic fathering is so powerful because it's a rank fathering.
Yes, sir.
It's a fathering that will set you in a divine place that no one will ever be able to trick you.
Right. Yes, sir.
You'll have insight. You'll be stable. You're not running for every little teaching that's going on. There's a lot of little teaching going on, and nothing wrong with that, but the apostolic is different. And so when I thought about this afternoon, apostolic fathering, wow, that'll take you some places,
right, yes, sir,
that you need to go, all right? And then Paul in 1 Corinthians 4:20, it revealed that apostolic authority is not a thing of word, but of power.
Yes.
If you read the context of that scripture, you talk about the kingdom of God is a kingdom of not a word only, but power. Paul was explaining apostolic power. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 8, if however I was to boast more loudly of our apostolic authority which the Lord has given us, that we may build you up, not pull you down. Just read the scripture sometime. 2 Corinthians 13:6, as you test yourself, I hope you will recognize that we have not failed a test of apostolic authority. So you read the scripture, you'll be able to relate to that. And I know I'm talking fast and you can't keep up with all I'm saying. But I'm trying to get somewhere else. In Galatians 2:8, for he who worked through Peter for his apostolic ministry to the circumcised. In Acts 1:25, it talks about to take over this apostolic ministry where Judas left to go where he belonged. And I just roughly tell you this, hit you a few things, because I have certain things I want to tell you about leadership. And Jeremiah 1:10 was a prophetic word about apostolic ministry. Apostles have been given authority over cities to shut down the gates and atmosphere of hell.
Yes, sir.
And because we as pastors suffered to some extent, we did all we could do, but that apostolic relationship put us in a stronger position. I'm talking about myself too, put us in a stronger position.
Yes, sir.
Because that's God's plan. So you read Jeremiah 1:10, see today I appoint you over nation and kingdom, uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow and to build. The plan. The church have not been able to do that because there's been too much politic in the church. Now, I'm going to talk to you about leadership for a moment and apostolic leadership. Number one, leadership today must have prophetic perception of the future. Leadership today must have prophetic perception or prophetic insight or prophetic understanding or prophetic enlightenment. Being able to see what is about to happen.
Yes, sir.
By the Spirit.
Yes, sir.
See? Leadership or you today have to have prophetic perception of the future and then have an ability to clearly interpret the past move of God. Clearly interpret. You go to Hebrews chapter 11, they said by faith they subdued kingdom. Well, you got to find out what's happening. You got to be able to have enough spirituality to understand how to relate to that and how to bring that to this time. And the Holy Ghost would help you do it. God, number two, God have called us to a legion only to restore truth and not to class. I'm going to get it again because there's two things. God has called us to a legion only to the restored truth and not to form styles or practices.
Yes, sir.
Form, style, and practice. I remember one time, I was studying behind a man. I said, I'm going to study behind him. I was in the car just listening. The Lord said, shut that tape down. Shut it down. He said, don't you know that's worldly strategy?
Yeah.
Well, I found the button, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, it sounds so wonderful. It had all the accolades of the spirituality on it. And it was sounds so organized. Mm-hmm. But he said, you know, it was form. And he said, you know. See, that man came out the secular world in business, and he brought it in the church.
Wow.
And in getting numbers, it can get quantity. You know, getting an army started out with quantity, 32,000.
Right.
And nothing more than 300 qualify.
Yes, sir.
You understand that?
Yes.
So form, styles, and practices are not going to get it. Methods and personal preferences are not going to get it. You need to be hearing from God. Number three, we need to receive apostolic blueprints and the heavenly patterns for change in these perilous times. We need to receive apostolic blueprints and the heavenly patterns for change in these perilous times. That's why I was telling you the early, it's so good you're in the school because it can prepare you not, this is not the gold rush, it's the hell rush. And so it prepare you for the hell rush because the hell rush is on now. So, I mean, you just well, but you need to be stable in your faith and your understanding that the Lord will protect you as you walk with him. You can't be running here and running there trying to get an answer. You had the answers at the house.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So another statement here is the church today is struggling to cope with the present. Overwhelming needs of our society. Let me get that again. Yeah. Because they're out of order, you see. See, we have the source, the supplier, and the sustainer just waiting on his children to turn it over to him. The source, the supplier, and the sustainer. And we try to do it every kind of way, but he's waiting on us. The church today is struggling to cope with the present overwhelming need of our society. And I have three things on the line here. I know I may have told you this thing before. The humanistic philosophies of ministry, which have invaded the church. The humanistic philosophies of ministry, which have invaded the church, have kept us in the rut of deception thus forcing us to grief on our past failure and inadequacies. Now I'm going to go back over that again because you can smell this in this generation because even the evangelical world in our last election, they tried to make a man a righteous man who the man himself knows he's not a righteous man. And they said some things that preachers shouldn't say.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
to deceive people.
Right. Yeah.
And it's not a few.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's a large number. See, racism is in there too.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah. They would never get us back in slavery. I know too much. I almost say something great. I catch you going back and clear out, get beside you and throw a Bobby in your car. Hit you side of the head. Bam! What we taught you at the school? The humanistic philosophies of ministry which have invaded the church have kept us in the rut of deception, thus forcing us to grief on our past failure and inadequacy. We're not stepping up. Another thing is the drastic changes that are taking place in our environment and society are forcing the church to compromise on its original calling and purpose. See?
Wow.
See? They compromise. See? And one of the main things they compromise because of money.
Yes,
I mean, it was back in the day, not too long ago, churches was the government, one of them presidents had the government building churches.
Uh-huh.
You know, and they were taking over, faith churches, huh? Yeah, yeah, yeah. What you call the church? Faith-based movement. Ain't no faith-based movement. That's a flunky-based movement. They call it that, you know. The new emerging leadership, what you're talking about, you must be clearly prophetic in foresight and revelation. The new emerging leadership, talking about you, must be clearly prophetic in foresight and revelation while being apostolic in wisdom, authority, and strategy. I'm going to give you that again. Sound like test to me.
Yes.
The new emerging leadership must be, number one, clearly prophetic in foresight. Same thing in revelation. Same thing in being apostolic in wisdom, authority, and strategy. You hearing it? All right. One more, and then I'm going to start about the apostolic, the apostle revivalists. We need to, and when you talk about revival, you know, the church didn't really know what a revival was. Is they're trying to get somebody saved. You can't revive nobody saved. Revival is bringing back what was once there. Like resuscitation, you know, somebody was alive and you're trying to bring them back alive. The church leadership today must seek for apostolic strategies that will help keep biblical principle intact while we change the society around us. The church leadership today must seek God for apostolic strategy. that will help us keep biblical principles intact while we change the society around us.
Wow.
Amen?
Amen.
Now, let's look at apostles as revivalists, or an apostolic anointing is a revivalist anointing to bring things back alive. The greatest product of this end time revival is going to be the manifestation of the apostolic men and women full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. But they're going to be operating with the portals of heaven open.
Yeah.
And they're going to understand that there's no higher government than the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And they will not bow down to men, no matter how much pressure men try to put on them. Because they know he whom they serve is greater than any man. No group, no organization.
Yes, sir.
He almost had to be sort of being independent.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to put pressure on. So the Holy Spirit and faith is too powerful. You know you got to have the word, but the Holy Spirit as a comforter and the faith as a productor. Uh-huh. They are a breed of revivalists and reformers whom the world has not yet or never before seen. And so we've been having a long drought for what we're talking about.
Yes, sir.
Long drought. But it's time now, because I believe the Lord I know the Lord is urging it back in, that we can get back to immediately.
Yes,
suddenly.
Yes, sir.
Straight away.
Yes,
be healed. Walk away.
Right.
See, anointing come up on one of you all. And don't have to be on all of us, but one of us who know how to yield to the anointing, and the person needing ministry, you say, I got this.
Yes.
See, but you're not going to get it with religious baggage. A revivalist carry with him an apostolic anointing that give him the mandate to organize, consolidate, and establish the believers in what God is prophetically fulfilling today. Organize, consolidate, establish. See, because we got so much to pull off. Before we go to putting a whole lot on, we got so much to pull off. Now, when you talk about apostolic succession, that word succession, I looked it up. What her name? Sarah looked it up. Sarah, what you call on her? Siri, yeah. She keep getting the wrong word. I said, A number of people or things sharing a specific characteristic and following one after another. Succession, a number of people or things sharing a specific characteristic and following one after another, or the action or process of inheriting a title or office. So what we're doing here in this school is setting you up in the vein of the apostolic.
Yes, sir.
You understand when the apostolic is moving, you understand that they're definitely going to move beyond tradition.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Now, for scripture, 1 Samuel 15 and 7, when Samuel laid hand on David, Samuel was a spiritual father and mentor to David. David grew stronger in the anointing by being with Samuel.
Yeah, right.
Listen, Samuel nurtured him as a son. And kept him, watch this, consistent in the ways of righteousness.
Yes, sir. Wow, that's right.
History recalled that David probably spent 10 years with Samuel when he ran away from Saul. 1 Samuel 19, 18, 2, 1 Samuel 25, 1. You might want to read the story. being faithful to what God has entrusted to a past generation will only make us relevant for that past generation. The future generation would not see its relevance to the time they're living in. See? David, see, trying to live on the past, on the way. David served his generation well because he knew what he needed to do with his life then. In Acts 13:36, says, for David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid among his fathers and underwent decay. So you have to be able to interpret the past generation, but you have to be walking in what God is doing right now. Now this is so important, Exodus 36:1. We need to have the know-how to perform all that God has commanded us. We need to have the know-how. I pastor this church sweatless. I travel all over the United States sweatless.
Yes, sir.
Because it's not my doing.
Yes, sir.
See, I'm not ripping, running, struggling, out of breath, tired, wearing myself out. Sweatless. Mm-hmm. Notice here, now Bezalel and Oholiab, whatever the name is, and every skillful person in whom the Lord had put skill and understanding to know how to perform all the work in the construction of the sanctuary shall perform in accordance with all that the Lord had commanded. So following what the Lord had commanded makes things easy. And when you find out you have missed him, say, Lord, I'm sorry. Turn around and go back. Say, well, where do you want me to go?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And he has a tendency to know you're going to miss it sometimes.
Yeah.
It's when you miss it and keep going, trying to say a face, you go, ego poison, you know. So does the apostolic succession take place through the process of spiritual fathering?
Yeah.
Spiritual fathering is an apostolic function rendered to those in whom the apostle wants to reproduce himself.
Right.
Reproduce himself.
Right.
And then you go and take it further, you see.
Right. Yes, sir.
Amen?
Amen?
The fathering process is to put into these men the very life and nature of our being so that it is reproduced in them. Here's something that is real dangerous. I want you to hear it, and I want you to be a keen student of this. We cannot father others properly if we have not been fathered ourselves by God the Father.
Yes, sir.
You can't do it.
Yeah.
And then I'll take it a little further. Yeah. Not only God the Father, if you're going to talk about father tomorrow, you should have been fathered by a man.
Yes, sir.
Somebody you answered up to. You want somebody to follow you, you never follow nobody. You're fake. And you're not gonna be able to stand the honor.
You're gonna build
your throne. Come on up here.
Yeah.
Now you're not gonna be able to handle it because you're gonna have to have what is being done for you, you're not going to be able to handle unless you've done it for somebody else.
Yes, sir.
Now listen, I think it's happening in this school. God is sending the Elijah type of ministers and ministry toward us. And this is God's timing and divine appointment for the church. Listen. You feel any goosebumps? I don't feel none. We haven't had too many goosebumps. What good goosebump gonna do you? Emotion. I like emotion. But I like to know what I'm doing too. I like to know if I don't have a feeling, I got faith. You know, I like to know if two or three people don't call me and see how I'm doing. It don't make no difference. God's there. When you get, oh my, I felt the anointing. You get in that position with God. See. It is a time of specific work upon the church through the prophetic and apostolic mantle of matured ministry. We got too many babies running around.
Yes, sir.
Huh? You got a baby trying to take care of a baby?
Yes, sir.
You ever saw that? I've seen that.
Yep.
You talking about a mess.
Exactly.
Baby trying to take care of another baby. Come on, come on. Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah.
I saw two of my grandchildren around the house last night. Kaylin, which is Darnell's child, and then Shauna, youngest boy. You know, and they try to take care of one another, and carrying the plate and dropping stuff all on my floor. What's your mama? Somebody can't. Y'all can't take care. They're running up to each other, hugging, dropping stuff. I'm trying to enjoy myself, but they're going toward one of my nice stuff. I said, geez, somebody catch them. The whole scope of ministry can change through the concept of spiritual fathering. These two things. We must understand God's government and rule.
Yes, sir.
The rule and the government of God is going to be established in the church, whether you go for it or not.
Yes.
And governmental structure and kingdom rule will be felt in and through the church of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this happened to me the other day. As in Hebrews 1, he will stretch out his scepter in Zion to rule the kingdom of his world until they become the kingdom of his Christ. That scepter points out a lot of things there. So, class, we must have God's blueprint for building. And it's going to come to the point that the church of Jesus will become the greatest demonstration of his kingdom, rule, and authority as we get back in order. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
She will advance God's kingdom by declaring the gospel of the kingdom. Now, this is very important what I'm saying now, because some of you all are suffering from lack and something in your life is not working like they should. I think this statement, I might be able to expound upon it or just read it. It'll be clear enough to let you know what you have to do. It was only after God established his government over his people that he led them to possess their inheritance.
Yeah.
Renegade's not going to eat it.
Wow. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Wow. He let them die it out. They wasn't listening.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Not to him, to Moses.
Yeah.
They wasn't listening to Moses.
Yes,
so when they wasn't listening to Moses, they wasn't listening to him.
Right.
So they died in the wilderness.
Yeah.
But the one who listened went on into their inheritance.
Yes, sir.
And so there's a lot of our inheritance we're not receiving now because we've been in stagnation with religion,
yes,
and tradition and denomination, the doctrine of men. And just a feeling religion,
yes, sir.
Without having some insight and enlightenment to know how to walk with God when things don't even look like they're going right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know they're right,
yes,
because our God can't fail.
Yes,
and that's that reality you have to come to. But if the truth was told, our inheritance is stagnated because government is out of place.
Yes, sir. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I had no problem with some of y'all. I look at that and said, good people.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about the whole structure of the kingdom of God has to come in place where God can have his way. God's not going to pay the way if he can't have his way. Now, he's provisional. He's a provider. But yet, he will not provide for disobedience. And so now you got Isaiah 5:13, my people led in captivity. Yeah. What the other one, Hosea 4:6?
Yes, sir.
Destroyed for lack of knowledge. Yeah. If not, I come to a point one time in this ministry, I found out it's not the people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you feed the people,
yeah,
they'll get it. Now, I've been feeding them and feeding them. One lady told me yesterday, she said, Lord God, I said, I can't get all this. Pastor, just gone. It's too much. I'm trying to write. I can't get all this. I said, now I asked her a question. I said, I just got quiet a while. I said, do you ever look back over at home? Oh, no, I don't do that. I said, well, you can't keep it.
Yeah.
I ain't preaching for one moment.
Come on, sir.
I got to give you something for the rest of the week.
Yeah.
Why you didn't go in the refrigerator? Thursday. What you went up there for?
Yeah.
On Friday. Just choose. If you're not going to go in your Bible and your notes, just don't go in the refrigerator.
Yeah.
You know you're going in the refrigerator.
Yeah.
So just go on and get in your Bible. So our inheritance of healing, health, finances, longevity, joy, peace is hidden in the government.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I was preparing for the prosperity revival. Man said, I forgot about prosperity. I lost all my peace.
Yeah.
You can't have no peace, bro.
Yeah.
So while in Egypt, he worked for them. In the wilderness, he worked in them until they believed his word and was ready to obey him fully. He's talking about leadership here and talking about how, you know. Let's talk about apostolic acceleration. Number one, apostolic acceleration comes when you hook up with the Father's purpose for your life. By hooking up with his purpose for someone else's life. Remember to Abraham?
Yep.
This is 12. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you call to all the family to always be blessed.
Right.
Yeah. Succession happens and succession brings acceleration. Mm-hmm. Y'all ain't gonna like what I'm about to say, your nigga. Well, it might be somebody else. Y'all might get help. Elisha was willing to be the water boy for Elijah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's where it fall out at.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Everybody won't be Elijah. So Elisha was willing to be a spiritual son. In 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. You'll see it right there. That he was there when the time came for Elijah to take off. And he had served enough for Elijah to want him to get everything he can give him. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. These Halloween people had traffic tied up. I was coming here. I said, what the hell? And I get to Pelican Point, and they all line up trying to get down up in there for some candy. I mean, y'all ain't gonna be able to get back home. Y'all better go out and eat somewhere. There's people up down, there people. What is this? One man got graveyard in his yard, tombstone in his yard, witches all upstairs. You don't need the revelation. No, that's the devil. Now, underline three words, y'all write them down. So they went. So they went. Now, listen to this now. Listen to this. You will never be sent until you become a part of So They Win.
Yeah. Come on, Apostle. Yes, sir.
You will never be sent until you become a part of So They Win. You have to go with the one who is sent.
Yes.
The one whose authority you are under. What? And notice that Elisha is determined to stick to Elijah like glue. In 2 Kings 2:3, he wouldn't let it up. So this voice says that your master is your head. Oh my. You don't want to hear that in the church. Master your head. But I know that the scriptures say, they talk about honoring them who over you financially, they say they rule over you. My spiritual father had rule over me. If he said something, now if he wasn't on the end of his ministry, I knew his son had come in and influenced him to do something, and then he was all ruled by the Holy Ghost. So he called me to a meeting. I couldn't go. Because the Lord had given me the text and everything twice. I couldn't go. But he knew why I didn't go, because he still loved me and we're still in contact. As a matter of fact, if he could have gotten the dog somewhere in the corner, he'd pat me on the shoulder and say, boy, that's my boy. You know, I know that. The Lord give me witness of that. You know, all right? All right. But you never get out of line unless the Lord overrules. And very seldom that's going to happen if the father doing what the Lord tell him to do. This is the way it should be. Every believer has a head, a person who imparts apostolic covering and leadership to them. That's what we're trying to do in the school. We're doing it. Apostolic covering and leadership. Notice 2 Kings 2 Kings verse 4. Maybe the same one. Elijah said unto him, Elijah said, tell ye, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. What? So they came to Jericho. Notice the three words they came to. So you have to be a part of those who are going somewhere.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
You didn't tell me?
So,
if that's so, be careful of the company you keep.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
You hooked up with somebody who ain't going nowhere, guess where you going? If you're hooked up with a head who is not going anywhere, who isn't seeing any soul saved, healed, or delivered, you might be hooked up with the wrong head or someone who isn't a head at all. And they too, verse 5 and 6, and they too went on. Not only is Elijah continuing to obey the command of the Lord for his ministry and life, but Elisha is also continuing to follow Elijah.
Yes.
I got in his next note is, you must continue on. You're going to be tried.
Yes,
if you're going to go to any altitude, you're going to be tried.
Right. Yes, sir.
So this is the art of pressing on and enduring to the end. What I said? Pressing on and enduring to the end. Yeah. You're not in no flower shop. This statement, I've heard it many times. It's not the one who runs the swiftest. It's the one who endures to the end. Who get acceleration through succession. It's not the one who runs the swiftest. It's the one who endures to the end who get acceleration through subsection. See, I was accelerated with Brother Hagin and Dr. Price, Brother Hagin mostly. My ministry was accelerated.
Yes, sir.
There's a lot of things I didn't have to go look for.
Right.
It was right there.
Yes, sir.
And I wouldn't be where I am today if I wouldn't have had a father.
Yes, sir.
It's so important. You know, you might think you can be a master builder by yourself.
Yes.
But let me tell you a little bit about master building here. Being a master builder, write that down, a master builder of ministry. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. Care must be taken to produce a finished product that God approves of. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. Give me that scripture. Listen. Care must be taken to produce a finished product that God approves of. That, according to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, another builder thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Very important. So let me give you two or three things here. The laying of a foundation, that's the beginning of ministry. Laying of the foundation. You know, foundation is one of the most important parts. The construction of a building, we're talking about ministry now, is developing the ministry. And you put the word down there properly. Then the third thing is the constant inspection of structure integrity. That's maintaining the ministry. I'm going back over that because this is very important. I'm going back over that. The laying of a foundation. That's the beginning of the ministry. Now, if you properly father, you can lay it right, you see. See, I never worry of fear. About nothing in the ministry. I ain't worried about nobody taking over or nothing.
Yes, sir.
Got the foundation right.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes.
When your foundation right, people don't want to mess with you either. They know. They know your foundation right. They know you're not playing no game. They know God got his hand on you. They know you've been sent.
Yes,
they know you got divine backup.
Yes.
You follow what I'm saying? Do it right.
Yes, sir.
Don't do what everybody else doing.
Yes, sir.
And one of the worst things you can do, do what everybody else doing. Climb on top of the roof and drill a hole.
Yeah.
All them people down there, they don't want nothing.
Yeah.
Push through the crowd and touch the garment yourself.
Yeah.
Why that woman got healed, all them other people, they ain't got nothing.
Yeah.
You can't build a crowd. Build it right.
Yeah.
The construction of a building. Developing the ministry. The constant inspection of structure integrity. Maintaining the ministry. Listen to this. The master builder doesn't simply stand back and admire his finished product. He continues to be diligent and responsible toward the longevity quality of the structure. I don't have a lot of activity in my ministry. This ministry is solid as a rock. I don't have a lot of meeting. But it's solid as a rock. Because I spend enough time before God and get direction.
Amen.
And I'm going to do what God tells me to do.
Yes, sir.
It takes keen discernment and good relationship to maintain an awareness of the structure integrity of a spiritual building.
Yes, sir.
It takes keen discernment and good relationship to maintain an awareness of the structural integrity of a spiritual building. I'm going to look at the prophet Moses for a few minutes. The prophet Moses is one of the prime examples of a master builder.
Yes,
says he was an apostle in action and attitude. But he needed prophetic insight to do the job efficiently. Said Moses had the master builder reform a DNA in him. Listen. Now, think about ministry. Think about if the Lord calling you to give you a commission. It says more that he didn't attempt to make up the design of anything that would represent the tabernacle. He received specific instruction as to how it was to be made. That's so important.
Yes, sir.
Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5. He says, "See, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern shown thee in the mouth."
Yes.
Don't go making up no new deal.
Yes.
Make it like I told you make it.
Yes,
class, God used Moses in an apostolic role to demonstrate a future principle of development for the pattern in the kingdom. God took a man to a mountaintop to reveal divine revelation to him. The mountain where Moses went was the place where a divine pattern was revealed in the form of, and I'm going to give you four or five things now, revelation, truth that is given from God to man, information, truth that is placed in the heart of man, transfiguration, truth that changed the nature of man, habitation, truth that reformed the status of man. I'll go back over. Revelation, truth that is given from God to man. Information, truth that is placed in the heart of the man. Transfiguration, truth that changes the nature of man. And habitation, truth that reformed the status of man. The responsibility of the master builder, the apostle, is to measure and construct the church according to the plan of God. So you see, you can't have a lot of people talking to you. That process includes overlaying the master plan of God on the earth and its inhabitants. The recipient of this divine pattern will build with what they have received from the master builder. And that you can't go wrong now. You can't go wrong. God gave you direction. This is his house. Yeah, this is his house. You remember the old voting deal? Right. And they vote the pastor out? Because the pastor changed something? Yeah, I got a refrigerator one time. And if they thought they could, they would have tried to roll me, but I was too bullheaded. They wasn't going to roll me. And I was just getting started. And then I ordered some pew and some air conditioning at that time, 25, 30 years, more than that, cost $10,000. So we borrowed $10,000. The old lady couldn't take it. This boy talking about $10,000. Never you'd have put up $7 for offering. I'm talking about the whole offering. See, I'm the man who broke up the change. I come in there once and I say, nobody getting no change. Whatever you put in there, go in the back. Boy, they didn't like that. Because when you give a dollar, they give me 75 cents back. You put a dollar in there today, it go into the back. And you know, I have some of the people here with me in the church today. As a matter of fact, the young girl who used to play piano for me, she's here. As a matter of fact, she's working with our choir right now. The apostolic agent must prepare people to be able to build their own after a foundation is laid. The apostle must prepare the people for the future by showing them the importance of clearly identifying their spiritual DNA and using it to construct their future. I like that. The apostle must prepare the people for the future by showing them the importance of clearly identifying their spiritual DNA and using it to construct their future. Yes, sir. That is important, yes, sir. Isn't it?
Yes, sir.
This is so important. The school, this is one of the things. The people must have a clear purpose and identity. A clear purpose and identity. See, the calling of God is without repentance. But the calling of God, if God calls you, you have to declare what your commission is.
Yes, yes, sir.
You know, and I, you know, God gave me a commission. A blessed man had prophesied over me about this commission. He didn't say it was about money, but he told me it's going to be blessed, fast, and two words, accommodation and consolidation. I didn't know what he was talking about. And now I got this commission as the apostle finances.
Yes,
and you come up against a lot of religious spirit there when you're trying to tell people they're supposed to be rich. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
And you've got the revelation, the awkward revelation, the less you have, the more God loves you. But that don't agree with Psalm 35:27. You know what it says? Look at it. That don't agree with that. That don't agree with Deuteronomy 8:18. It don't agree with it. It don't agree with 3 John 2. It don't agree with it. It don't agree with Luke 6:38. It don't agree with it. See? But then man got their little plan. So purpose and identity is so important. And you can't get that by just running around. You got to be corrected, directed, protected, you know. When the people take heed how things are built, they will never veer far from the original course of the leader's plan and purpose.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, I got a lot of people here at the church, my church like this, or the Lord's church, or the church he put me over. They must know their leader's assignment.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Are you going to pray for me and you don't know what my assignment is?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
One of my daughters, I come in and look. I had one sitting in the receiving, other one. I said, they didn't know I needed two. I always thought. And so one in the choir. So I'm sitting down. Lord said, go get her. She can't sing and pray at the same time. So I went and got her.
Yeah.
But see, nothing happened. I mean, her husband here. But they know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Nobody got upset. Nothing, you know, just went on and did what we got to do.
Yeah.
That's what got to take place.
Right.
They held that thing just right.
Yeah.
And I was able to minister clear and precise.
Yes, sir.
Because they're apostolic intercessors.
Yes, sir.
We're training them to be apostolic intercessors. They're not prayer warriors. They're prayer winners.
Yeah.
We teach them how to win.
Yeah.
Must know that leader's assignment. Every leader who is called to bring reformation to the church must have a mountaintop revelation experience. Being a spiritual transformer means being able to convert the currents of revelation from God so that it can be received and understood by those who serve in the tribe. The currents of revelation. I like that. The current. Being able to direct those currents properly. That you can see, that you can understand it, that you can know, you can identify with it. You know, you can make it work in your life.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Huh?
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. Yeah, nobody gonna follow if nothing don't happen.
Yes, sir.
See, but when you follow a good leader, if you follow that leader, how that word is, that's contagious blessing.
Yes,
sir. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The connection is so important. I can't overemphasize. Connection, proper connection.
Yes,
stay connected.
Yes, sir.
Don't leave when you feel like it.
Yeah.
Finally, a true leader will tell you, I believe it's time for you to go.
Yeah.
The Lord said anything to you?
Yeah.
And you and the leader have the same thing.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Then now he can help you.
Yes.
You can't help a renegade.
Right.
You can't help a bastard. The Lord couldn't help a bastard,
right.
You know. If you don't get out, you're going to be illegal or illegit.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Can't. You're just ready to go.
Yes, sir.
Currents of revelation. Being able to direct them so you can catch a hold on them. Now, you know Christ the master builder, right?
Yes, sir.
And any apostolic leader who is seeking to raise up a capable and functional lineage of sons and daughters must establish the necessary pattern for continual success. How you gonna tell me about success and you don't have none? You've been in ministry 73 years or 90 years and you still don't have none. You tell me, follow me, boy, follow me. Where you going? When you gonna get there? Do something, man. Well, Christ had no problem. Christ being the head give the body of Christ the motivation and movements that are necessary to their success. He did. The author said it's no coincidence that God raised Jesus in a natural family that was in the building trade. He was a carpenter. Turn to Isaiah 44. Isaiah 44:13. I'm about to close, Claire. I smell soup. Yeah. I know y'all got to go to your class, but just go ahead and pay your price. I've been to school three or four times. Yeah. I was a straight A student in spiritual school, not another school. I ain't paying no attention. But see, so I had the good, just didn't put it out. Yeah. My instructor, to my amazement, I was such a student, he walked up and said, Thompson, when I'm not here, you take over. I said, Lord Jesus, the whole school. But yeah, he did, and I did. I did what he told me to do. Yeah. I followed so close, though. I followed, I obeyed, and that's what's doing. The carpenter stretched out his rule. He marked it out with a line. He fitted it with plan. Boy, that's the detail in it. He marked it with the compass. Good God Almighty. You see that? He didn't make it after the figure of a man according to the beauty of a man that it may remain in the house. Well, I mean, he really planned that thing out, didn't he? Huh? There are significant points here to describe the work of Christ, the master builder, the apostle, who is also a master builder. My goodness. The carpenter stretched out his rule. He marked it out with a line. He fitted, you trying to talk about, put it right over there. Walk, you know, just a little further. You don't know what you're building. You ain't got no dimension. You ain't got no. A lot of ministry build like that. I want to get a pulpit like Thompson got. They're going to make their ministry like this. This thing don't make the ministry. Just make it. Yeah. These. Yeah. Carpenters, they are very skillful working with sons and daughters. Rule, they are accurate in measuring and connecting their sons and daughters. Marking things with a line, they form the proper relationship. Fitted it with plans, they make the necessary adjustment for accomplishment. You got it? Let me go back over it. Carpenter. They are very skillful working with son and daughter. That's in the scripture. The rule. They are accurate in measuring and connecting their sons and daughters. Marking them with a line. They form the proper relationship. Fitted. It with plans that make the necessary adjustment for accomplishment. See, take all that. You got it? Y'all got it? I'm about to go. Y'all got it? All right. Let's see. There's something here. Something that's stuck together here. Mark it out with a compass. They create uninterrupted connection. All right, and the other part is he make it after the figure of man, right? Yes, sir. They create the right model of pattern to help fulfill God's will and purpose on earth. All right, let's go to the word according. Put that scripture back up. You remember what it was? What is Isaiah 44? Isaiah 44, 30, she got it back up. Okay, all right. But all these different dimensions, things got to be done. According to the beauty of a man, they mature and produce finished spiritual sons and daughters, that it may remain in the house. They continually produce sons and daughters. That's a very thorough scripture there. The apostolic process of building will always follow divine order. What did I say? That's enough. Amen. Amen. What a prosperity revival next week.
Yes, sir.
Y'all know where y'all supposed to be, right?
Yes, sir.
I want to make y'all sign a rule. Because you can't leave the school broke. You're on too much anointing for that. And you know, I've been kind of looking at some things for prosperity revival, talking to the Lord about it. I believe we're going to have a strong meeting. Strong meeting. So I'll see you at Prosperity Revival. Take your break or whatever you do and go to your next class.